ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look at us. Look, it's our first day at the TV rodeo. We're like waving to the camera wild, like we're in a local news shot.
We're on the air.
Hi! I'm on TV.
Well, we have a new TV guy today.
Oh, that's right. It's Sean. But who's driving the big bus all by himself with no training wheels? You are.
Should we introduce Sean?
I think, he's already been on camera.
Oh, that's right.
All right.
Okay.
But we will have him return.
And Sean's got a fan base already.
Yes.
What? Sean's got a fan base already.
Yeah. It's weird. Tim A. is off in Alaska for a Discovery Channel thing for 3 months, and then he will be back.
4 months.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, because going to...
Most men tell me they'll be back.
Going to Alaska in the wintertime is always so wise.
Well, it was a choice between that and...
Stephanie Miller.
Like, yeah, you know
yeah,
what?
I choose Alaska in the winter.
Okay, all right.
With the bears.
All right, anyway, so Sean is here flying a plane. Whee! And we have a big show. I see, because you know who producer Chris, of course, does the bullet points as to one of the most important things going on in the world.
The most important news today.
Right. Oh, what's the first one? Oh, it's producer Chris's birthday today. So, just saying, I guess we can cover that first.
Go, Sean. It's your birthday. We're going to party like
something in France, but, you know, Le Bois is French.
Le Bois, yes.
Le Bois.
Le Bois. It means the way or the path.
It's his freedom of speech today.
I got a path for you. To get away for you to go.
Uh-huh.
All right, and we have Charlie Pierce, Jody Hamilton live in studio, who is delightful and also damn fascinating.
And she's bringing cupcakes.
Birthday cupcakes.
Yeah. I didn't think you knew that. I was going to save that surprise.
She just posted on my Facebook page.
Yeah, she's all over Twitter. You can't keep a secret with her.
Yeah, seriously. Can't tell her anything. Damn thing.
And then, of course, Bob Seska in hour number three, who is delightful. Oh, he wrote a piece about Mitch McConnell trying to take credit for the Obama economy. But also desperate freedom fries conservatives attack Obama for not marching in France. Because, you know, it's a nice open-air thing with no security. It would have been impossible. So they're all for that. It's bad that he didn't.
Although Josh Earnest did say yesterday, you know.
We should have sent someone of a higher level.
No, he said President Obama would have liked to have gone.
Right, but what I was saying is there's obviously a lot of security concerns.
He should have gone.
Okay.
Well, did you see what Jon Stewart said about it?
No.
He was talking about all the leaders that were there, you know, like the people from Saudi Arabia who just flogged a blogger last week.
Yeah.
And he basically went down all the people.
Free speech, Charlie!
Went down the whole list for everyone for free speech who's an imprisoned journalist.
But David Cameron was there. Angela Merkel was there.
Yeah.
President Obama should have been there.
I saw them all marching. It looked like the scene in, I can't remember what I'm thinking of, Les Miserables. It's like they're all marching forward.
Yes.
Is that what I'm thinking of? Who's the one that...
I don't know.
I haven't seen that.
Hugh Jackman starred in the movie version.
Starlight Express.
No! Hugh Jackman that starred in the...
Les Miserables.
Yes, Les Miserables.
I'm not as gay as you think I am, Steph. I don't watch every musical.
They were moving toward the barricade. What?
I'm not as gay as you think I am. I don't watch every musical that comes out.
You're gay enough. Okay. by the way, we missed a great tweet by one of the friends of the Steph Miller Show yesterday. I don't know why silly things just are my favorite.
That tickled me to no end.
It tickled us half the day yesterday. Michael McDonald, our comedian, actor extraordinaire friend, who's done this regular show, Happy Hour Podcast, he tweeted yesterday, used Altoid for sale, mint condition.
I laughed about that all day long. I don't know why.
That is funny.
It is very funny.
You're like a 12-year-old.
I enjoy a good pun. Bad puns are... Yeah. Awful, but...
There were no farts. There were no, like, kittens.
Right.
No puppies. It was just fun. Okay.
Yeah.
You're funny, Michael. And you have long eyelashes. Really blue eyes. Okay. And he promised to bring Sandra Bullock next time for the Happy Hour podcast.
I think he was just telling you that in the
Sandy.
Most Hollywood...
He calls her Sandy.
In the most Hollywood kind of way, he told you that.
Oh, by the way, speaking of which, so we forgot the breaking news yesterday, which is big news. I pigeonholed Lisa Rinna at spinning.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
On Friday, and she agreed to come on and do the show or the happy hour or whatever.
She said that in the most Lisa Rinna way.
She'll agree to anything.
She is very sweet. We've done an Actors and Others for Animals thing event together a long time ago, some random event in Ed Asner's living room. Anyway, that's what was planned, and then we walked the runway.
Ed Asner is one of the two celebrities I have in my cell phone.
There you go. You're fancy.
Ed Asner and Viggo Mortensen.
but it's random.
Yeah.
Let me check mine. I don't know who I have in here.
I've got Alfre Woodard. You've got Alfre Woodard?
Really?
Remember when she called?
None of these are current. As soon as they knew I had them, but
when she randomly called in on election day, when we were going to get a guest, we didn't know who it was.
Right.
She called in from her cell phone without her number blocked. So
right.
Guess what number I wrote down?
Alfre Woodard.
Oh wait, you know who else made the mistake of randomly calling in? Melissa Etheridge. Remember?
Yes.
Let me see if I got that.
I've got Linda Carter's.
We captured them like on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Oh yeah.
They just shunk, fall in the hole with all the twigs and the net. Aha! We have your cell
phone. One day there's gonna be a drunk text to Linda Carter. I'm just know it. Spin for me. Spin.
Wonder Woman. Anyway, but so you were saying that Lisa Rinna actually famously
on
Real Housewife of Beverly Hills said that
she doesn't say no to anything. She says yes to everything.
Right. And so I'm going to guess I'm going to be the first thing she ever
said. You're
going to have to do the call to the fancy PR person. They're going to be like, Lisa told who she'd do what spinning. No.
Lisa said yes to that Depends commercial.
Yes. I think this is our.
But
end.
She said she got more money from that than anything she's ever done in her entire career.
I get that. I have gastrointestinal. That's on the air at least once a week.
You do. You could do live reads for it.
Yes.
I'm wearing them right now.
Oh, the live reads. Right. Remember the.
I wore them to spin class with extra padding.
What was that thing we loved online? I shipped my pants.
I shipped my pants. Yes, that Kmart commercial.
You can ship your pants places, but it's very funny because there's a bunch of people doing testimonials.
Yes.
You'll be the one that has to make the call.
Is there any other...
the person will go, oh, right. Because you remember what a person from that same fancy PR firm said to us once. You have to understand just how low on
radio
the food
is.
Chain
yeah.
radio actually is.
Yeah.
But this could be our end to get some other housewives, maybe.
You're going to start...
You don't know any of the other housewives.
That's the thing.
You might know Kim Richards.
Oh, Charlie Sheen's ex something? No?
No.
Kim Richards
starred in a bunch of, like, Disney movies when she was a girl. Like, Escape from Witch Mountain and...
No.
She was also on Hello, Larry.
No. Nothing's...
Really?
Nothing's
You've
connected.
Never seen Escape from Witch Mountain?
Of all the slapping lawyers up there, nothing's connected.
You've never...
I would think Escape
I've heard from... of it.
I would think that'd be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
No. All right. Look, it's a love letter for...
But Lisa Vanderpump could bring wine. She has her own Vanderpump.
She has her own vodka line, too.
She has her own restaurant. Let's
go. Well, she has three of them.
Yeah, right. She could cater
to We've tried to get you to them before.
Okay, we'll invite you
And you
again.
Said no.
I showed up at your party.
Yes.
You never know.
That's the one party.
I'm wildly unpredictable.
The one thing you've said yes to in the 10
that
years.
That's for my baby boy. And yeah, it was at 4 o'clock. And it was near my house.
I've invited you to other birthday parties of mine, and you said flat out no. That's why I didn't invite you to this one at first.
Well, see, it showed up like a ninja.
Is that because you're feeling needy?
Yes.
It's because you don't come to her things anymore, so she's like, okay, fine.
All right.
Now, you're on the hook for her next five parties.
I can't even get my paid friends to show up to my parties anymore, so I'm like, okay, where is it?
Next time he says no to you,
I invited myself. How sad was that?
Next time he says no, you're going to be like, I'll bet I came to yours.
Okay, can you? You just need to remember verbatim what the PR person says about Lisa Rinna, saying she'll do my show. It's spinning.
Yeah, record
okay.
that chisel.
I'll get back to you tomorrow with that.
All right, here's a love letter from Ryan yet again with the Happy Hour podcast. Steph, I don't know how you do it, but the first Happy Hour podcast of 2015 was absolutely spectacular. Tina Dupuy.
That's right.
Easily fitting in with the 2014 offerings. In fact, it gives new meaning to the term crunchy audio goodness, especially about 3.5 minutes in. Oh. Tina Dupuy was telling a particularly sad, tragic story from her childhood, and I was nervous, and I crunched a cracker really loud.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mean to be rude.
Crunchy audio goodness.
Right. I was stress eating. I didn't not feel empathy. I just was...
How many glasses of champagne did you have before she got here?
Who can say?
No, Steph was feeling the sizzling erotic tension between you and
right.
Tina.
Well, she's shiny. She's literally shiny.
She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah. But she's, right? Shiny, just...
Chris is still gay. He's not going straight for her.
Okay, all right. The Tina Dupuy intro you play on your show where John Fugel's saying, since she's smart, she's funny, is a major understatement. My three favorite quotes from her from the Happy Hour. And these are always news to me because I don't remember anything that happens on
yeah.
the Happy Hour.
Yeah.
But it sounds funny. It sounds like it was good. Three quotes from her are, you should have consensual sex and drink, and then you don't become ISIS. Number two, it's free. It's an open bar. Why are you asking follow-up questions? And the last one, make it into a tiger.
What?
I don't remember that was... Well, I remember it being funny. I don't remember what it was regarding. I'll have to go buy the Happy Hour podcast now.
Yeah, I think we can get you a free subscription.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who do I see about that?
Talk to HR.
Oh, did you see Travis tweeted a picture of me sexually harassing you yesterday at
your
party?
Yeah, and you were the top.
You said somebody called the HR, which is me.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, can I help you? What's the problem? Go ahead, you can register your complaint now.
I would like to protest in the strongest possible terms.
Screw you, shut up. Wear something tighter.
You tongued my boyfriend's ear.
What a puss. This will be another episode I will find myself listening to over and over again. Oh, wait, I already have Ryan in Collinsville, New Jersey. People do. It's really funny, and then they take it with them to, you know, they want to hear it again in the car, in the gym, hiking, walking. Yes.
Kim Richards was also the little girl on Nanny and the Professor.
Oh, thank God we have that information now.
Do you remember that show?
No.
What? Twitter was sure that you would know that show.
I don't remember that show.
The Fran Drescher Nanny or a different Nanny?
No, Nanny and the Professor.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
With Phoebe Figalilli. That was the nanny's. It was like a takeoff. It was like a cheap ripoff of Mary Poppins.
Oh, no.
No?
No. All right.
Don't look at me. That was way
before
I was born.
But I know every plot twist on every Heart to Heart that was ever recorded, so ask me about that if you need to.
Okay, you watched Family. I wonder why.
Stop making Junior Dyke jokes about me. Well, I did not know then that I was a buddy. Okay.
But you felt something strangely...
Something stirred in
you. You got her. She got you.
You didn't have a name for it yet.
You know what? I'm going to register a complaint about you two with HR.
All right.
Read the thing about the thing that we get paid for.
All right, so we have a big rollicking show coming up, full lineup of guests because of Travis Bone, of course.
Yeah, he does all the work. I just kind of sit back and drink.
Yeah, exactly. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me live that fantasy. Oh, we're both in love with dreams, and I'm in love with being queen.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce, Bob Seska, and Jody Hamilton live in studio, all on big show today.
And Jen, she's bringing cupcakes.
Birthday cupcakes for the boy. Hi, Jen in Colorado. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
I just wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Did you keep your promise?
Which one?
Did you get Chris his wind pants for his birthday?
Wind pants. That also came up on the Happy Hour podcast, and I have no memory of what that meant. What are wind pants?
Oh, you're kidding.
They're pants made out of windbreaker material.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, oh, because someone in a story was wearing them, and we were like, what the hell are wind pants?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in your lovely story, that was unbelievable. I'm not a very good seamstress, but I would offer to try and tailor make those for you, Chris, if you'd like.
Aw. I'm
is that for someone that breaks wind frequently? I forget what wind pants are
for.
No,
you jog in them when it's,
I see. Oh, okay.
Inclement weather.
Okay.
Yeah, there was cutouts.
And
we can try and make those for you for Chris.
I'm fine without them, but thank you very much.
Well, happy birthday. Oh,
thank you, Jen. I appreciate that.
That would lead to a fashion incident in West Hollywood. Don't do that to him. Jen.
All right, thanks.
Hey, you know what can make an international incident of terrorism even worse?
What?
Almost anyone on Fox. Okay. Did you see, was it David Cameron that called a Fox News quote-unquote expert an idiot?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Citizens in the United Kingdom, including Prime Minister David Cameron, expressing frustration with Saturday's episode of Fox News, Justice with Judge Jeanine.
Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Right.
Who still can't find page 10.
No, page 10 is elusive, and that's where all the actual facts and experts reside. apparently, blasting one of the show's guests for making wildly inaccurate claims about Islam in a British city. Did a segment made to discuss no-go zones or regions in Europe that are supposedly off-limits to non-Muslims. Host Jeanine Pirro called Stephen Emerson.
Yeah.
He's the Fox News expert.
Yeah.
I said with ginormous air quotes. After riffing on no-go zones as a country within a country, he specifically cited the British city of Birmingham as home to a population that is totally Muslim, which is totally, that, as it turns out.
Yeah, that comes as news to some friends of mine who live in Birmingham, England.
Right. Here he is, the aforementioned Fox dope.
There are actual cities like Birmingham that are totally Muslim, where non-Muslims just simply don't go in. And parts of London, there are actually Muslim religious police that actually beat and actually wound seriously anyone who doesn't dress according to Muslim religious Muslim attire.
Yeah. And okay, Steve Emerson, he's well known for saying inflammatory stuff
that
like
is not exactly true.
Exactly. However, I need to take issue with Jeanine Pirro, who did not push back one inch on something that was obviously false.
Right.
She just sat there with a look on her face like, wow.
Wow,
oh, wow.
Really? Ooh. Oh, my gosh. We happen to have a graphic for that.
Yeah. Putting out blatant falsehoods on a journalism program that's completely irresponsible, and she really shouldn't have a job.
Yeah. Hey, guess what else someone on Fox had to say about all this?
What?
Paris was terrorized because French people have smartphones instead of guns. Because, as you know, more guns would have been the answer to everything. Mm. That's why we have no gun violence here in the United States, because we have so many guns. Right. That's why there's virtually no gun violence in the United States of America.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was engaging in the sarcasm.
Yes, you are.
For those of you who just tuned in, you just stumbled across the show? Okay. Emily Miller, an investigative reporter for Fox's D.C. affiliate, insisted to Fox News Monday a recent terrorist attack in Paris was stopped because the French people carry cell phones and not guns. Jesus. I think as far as French gun laws, it's basically a gun-free zone. As we've seen in the United States, gun-free zones lure evil and crazy people like terrorists there because no one fights back. Oh, you mean like army bases and other places, right, where there would never be guns.
It's my understanding that army bases are chock-a-block with guns.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
So gun-free zones like France, which unfortunately... Wow, you just can't hear this argument enough, can you? Even the poor police aren't carrying guns. It's just very attractive to someone who's going to go in with a gun. Democratic strategist pointed out that the so-called lone wolf terrorists could go into any gun show and just pick up guns legally here in the U.S., which is so helpful if you happen to be a terrorist, even if they're on the terrorism watch list. Thank you, NRA. Isn't that great?
Yep.
According to Miller, it's ridiculous to think the Second Amendment made things easier for terrorists. How is the... What? I'll tell you the rest of her thoughts. It's precious. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Can you drop?
I'm hammered and I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Charlie Pierce coming up, Vesquire.com. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why are you making a face?
Line one.
All right. Hi, Bob. Bob in Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi.
Hi. Yes. Real quick, I grew up in. I'm from Southern Ohio, which is Appalachian. I grew up, guns all around. I had a gun when I had 22 when I was 10. Here in 05, I got put in prison for shooting a guy, and I'll never even touch another gun because I really didn't deserve guns then.
Okay.
And,
why did you shoot a guy?
He hung up on himself.
I'm here.
Why did you shoot a guy?
Because he was threatening me and my family, and he wanted... We'd been arguing, so I shot him in the leg. Oh.
Is that how you argue with people?
That's an argument ender.
Huh?
Yeah, you need to turn off your radio as well.
Right. Don't put a gun in your waistband. I just feel that may end badly.
Oh, well, I knew it was going to end badly, but I'd better get round guns all my life. I went to prison for it. I will never touch another gun.
All right, I think that's wise. Yeah. All right, Bob, thanks for sharing. Okay. That's probably good. If he, that guy would have shot his off, I'm just saying. He would have shot himself.
Shot it flat off.
Maybe the twig and the berries. I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay. He would have ended up like a Ken doll.
Well, that was kind of I guess that was sort of a happy ending story, which you don't get very often. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, we've all shot a man in Reno once just to watch him
sure.
die, but I...
And
in Ohio, just a...
Travis put up there, I just want to talk.
He just wanted to talk. I wanted to talk that through. Okay.
All right.
Okay. As Bob just proved, Exhibit A, more guns would always be the best answer in any shooting violence incident because so many people are clearly highly trained, like Bob from Ohio. So many of the armchair generals that after these incidents happen would have handled it better, as you know. So Fox News said Paris happened because French people have smartphones instead of guns.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You know what the problem is, Chris? Even police, oftentimes, who are trained, aren't that accurate in shooting into a, crowd situation. I'm just saying, imagine a nation of Bobs from Ohio.
Right. And
in a whatever shooting incident you want to.
And might I point out that smartphones saved a lot of these people's lives.
Yes.
Because they were communicating.
Well, Rick Overton did a brilliant riff on this yesterday
They were communicating with people on the outside. Hiding in the downstairs refrigerator of that kosher grocery store. Yeah. And they were communicating with people on the outside through smartphones.
Right, right. Okay, so according to some Fox bimbo. Excuse me. Yeah. Because someone had pointed out that the so-called lone wolf terrorist could go into any gun show and pick up guns legally here in the U.S., even if they're on the terrorism watch list.
Yeah.
Which is so helpful. Thank you, NRA, and thank you, Wayne LaPierre. Very helpful. She then said, well, that's ridiculous to think the Second Amendment makes things easier for terrorists. Except that it does.
It does.
She said it's the polar opposite. Foreigners know we have guns. The person who was taking that video when the cop was shot said if they had been a concealed carry owner like me, a gun owner. Oh, I see. So Emily, the investor, would get a reporter for Fox News DC affiliate. If she'd been there.
Then it wouldn't happen.
No.
I see.
They could have shot the man, maybe put him on. But instead, they just watched and took a video.
So she has sniper training and could have shot the guy from the roof across the street as he was a moving target.
Hit any bystanders.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I'd like to see you put that to the test.
The Democratic strategist then noted that terrorists who attacked Charlie Hebdo in France had likely bought their assault rifles on the black market, but similar weapons could be purchased legally at gun shows here in the U.S. So none of those impediments exist here if you're a terrorist.
Yeah.
Miller agreed there were probably, she said, there's probably an ISIS sleeper cell in the U.S., and that those terrorists might be able to legally buy firearms. But here's what's going to make y'all sleep better tonight. She said, the fact is there's a lot more people who can shoot back at them here. So, phew!
Oh, thank God.
Now I feel better. We have a bunch of heavily armed Bobs from Ohio to help us in the case that, the sleeper ISIS cells that apparently are already here can legally buy guns at gun shows, automatic weapons, anything they need. Even if they're on the terrorist watch list, even if we know who they are.
Bob will shoot you if he's losing an argument
with
you.
Do you have an ID? Oh, well, here's a helpful copy of the terrorist watch list where my name is. Might I have an AK-47? Yes!
Computer says yes.
Yes, you may. Here it is. Thank you. Sorry. Hope we haven't held you up too long. No? Oh, what did that take? 2.5 minutes? Sorry. Could we help you out to your car?
Okay.
I'm being seaworthy this morning.
Yeah, you kind of are.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Okay, Jim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jim. Hi, Jim. Jim.
Aww.
Jim is an NRA member. Jim has.
Jim has.
You know what? I feel that last C-wordy frenzy of mine, I think it scared him off.
Might have. Yeah.
She was going to say, I'm an NRA member, and I don't care. The terrorists can get them to get back. But there would be some point, I bet you, that Jim had that would have totally made us forget Bob in Ohio. That we would have gone, that is a good point. That it's good that people on the terrorist watch list and sleeper cells and ISIS can get automatic weapons at gun shows here. Well, that's great. Who can agree on that, Chris? America. Yeah. Woo. Okay.
Are you okay? Do you need a hug?
I'm having a bad...
life?
Yes. Okay. Oh, Bob in Ohio's back. Thank God. Hi, Bob. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes. And real quick, I live in southern Ohio. Uh-huh. Anyone you talk to from Kentucky or from Columbus, ask them what they think of Portsmouth. Yes. I had been in prison before for a felony.
Now, is this the aforementioned incident where you had the argument with a guy and shot him in the leg?
Yes.
Okay.
Should not have been able to get a gun.
Right. That guy's okay, I take it.
Huh?
That guy's okay?
You still talk to that guy?
That guy wanted shot. He killed himself in Alabama a couple of years later.
Oh, oh dear.
Oh, that's a sad story. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But he wanted shot, and he wanted me to be the one to do it. I should not have been able to get a hold of a gun. Like
no,
you shouldn't have.
Mental institution 10 different times.
You've been in a mental institution 10 different times?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, well, actually more, but 10 do. 22 times altogether.
Wow, 22 times.
Wow. How and
did you keep escaping?
And I keep what?
Did you keep escaping? Is that why you were in 22 times?
No, they kept letting me out.
Oh my gosh.
I would go in.
Why aren't you in one now?
What? He's fine now.
Yeah, maybe I should be in one now.
Okay. All right. How did you get your gun at the time?
A friend of mine said, hey, here in Sargent, here's a 9mm Glock, here's how you work it. And I didn't have it down the front of my pants, I had it down the back of my pants.
Oh, because, you want to shoot your ass off.
That's better.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Well, Bob.
the twigs and stuff.
You want to keep those.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. Bob, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm glad that
Jim is back, so we need to take that call.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, Jim in Chicago is back, so we should take that call. Oh, dear.
Okay. Oh, hi, Jim in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Stephanie, can you hear me this time?
Yes, I can. Hi, Jim.
Okay. Life member, NRA, proud life member. Very sympathetic to the victims of the gun crime or terrorist acts. However, it will not affect my judgment as far as whether or not I feel that I need to switch my position on gun control. I will always be pro-Second Amendment, and I don't ever see... In fact, it's going our way. Every state, in fact, is going our way as far as pro-gun.
Do you feel you can be pro-Second Amendment and still, I don't know, perhaps feel like people in ISIS sleeper spells that are on the terrorist watch list shouldn't be able to buy a AK-47 at a gun show with no background check?
Or people like Bob in Ohio?
I don't believe that there's anything that should prevent a law-abiding citizen who goes through a background check from...
So you're for background checks, at least. That's good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because the NRA isn't.
So you'd have to close that loophole at gun shows.
No, that's not true. They're for instantaneous background checks, which, part of it is, when I go to a gun shop, I'm a gun owner, they know it, I have a concealed carry permit, I have to wait to buy a gun, which is kind of silly because on my hip I'm wearing a gun because I have a concealed carry permit. Why should I have to wait to buy or exchange a firearm?
Do you feel like people like George Zimmerman should be able to have a gun who was just arrested again for domestic violence?
Assault.
With a wine bottle.
People,
which I generally would be sympathetic to, but sorry.
I'm an attorney. I represent a lot of people in domestic violence cases.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I see just as many men that are victims as women. Okay?
Well,
I don't think that's statistically true.
And that's totally beside the point, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, here.
That has nothing to do with the argument at hand.
Jim, are you actually making the argument that statistically just as many men... Oh, okay.
A piece of paper is not going to stop somebody from coming through the front door. Okay?
It'll put something in their way.
It's like bullying.
It'll put something in their way. It's like putting a table in front of the door. Yeah, they might get through eventually, but it makes it a lot harder.
Saying, get a Rottweiler, get a 357 Magnum, do something to pretend yourself. Don't be a victim. Okay. That's my point. Whatever it takes, whatever you feel comfortable with defending yourself.
So you think George Zimmerman should still be able to own a handgun?
Well, I'm sorry?
You think George Zimmerman should be able to get himself a handgun, even though he has all of these assault charges against him?
I don't know if he's been convicted of anything.
I see. All right. By the way, what if the terrorist shoots your dog?
I'm innocent until proven guilty. How about in cases where people they have an order of protection?
How about someone who beat the crap out of his wife?
All right, you want to go through extremes or you want to talk about a fact?
No, I'm talking about things that actually happen every day.
Yeah,
do you think someone who beats the crap out of his wife should be able to get a gun?
Yeah. No, that's not what I said. Listen to what
Do you think that should happen?
No.
Okay. So then you're for some sensible gun control.
I represent people all the time in domestic cases. All right? A lot of the cases are bogus. They are doing this because they want
to. So you try to get guys off that have beaten up their wives.
Okay, yeah. It's never the woman's fault.
I don't need to have a conversation with someone that statistically is trying to claim that men are just as often the victim of domestic violence as women, because that is patently
untrue.
What's the word? Untrue.
It's a lie.
Oh, but he represents those guys. So, you know, a lot of times, bitches be crazy, as we know. A lot of lying bitches.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's good to know he's for some sensible gun control.
Okay, 46. I'm in a mood today.
I know.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
This is like a Jerry Lewis telethon on meth.
What?
Travis yelling up the stairs, "Lighter!"
Well, the music was playing and
phone banks are going.
And you weren't in your seat yet.
Would you like to know why?
Why?
I'm making chicken burgers. And you might just get one for your birthday.
Really?
Yes. Would you like a tamale?
What kind of tamale?
I have, let's see, a beef and chicken.
I will take beef.
Okay, I'll get on that. Thank you. This show is getting in the way of my wifely duties. My womanly purpose as a woman.
You need to take care of your men's.
Oh, exactly. Why am I here flapping my jaws when I should be up there rustling up something for you to eat?
That's right.
I'm having a breakdown. Okay, let's go to...
But it's so entertaining.
Joe in Pennsylvania. Hey, Joe, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I was just at a gun show in Ohio on Saturday, and you couldn't buy a gun there without getting a background check. Uh-huh. And that's the same way in Pennsylvania. Mm. So I just wanted to call and point out that not every state has it where you can just walk into a gun show and just buy a gun, no questions asked.
Well, I guess the terrorists could never figure out how to work the Google to figure out what state they could go to get a gun with a background check.
Right. I'm not saying that, you know, it couldn't happen. I'm just saying...
You're not saying. You're just saying.
There are ones out there. And I was actually surprised that they didn't have any, you know, sometimes they have a fully automatic, weapon there for sale with somebody who has the proper permit can buy, and they didn't have any of that at that gun show either. So I think that, you know, they're becoming more restrictive on what they can sell at the venues because the venues don't want to have the liability for it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, guess who gets to keep his gun and his badge?
Who?
Vegas cop gets to keep his job despite Obama gun photo and calling for a race war.
Oh, really?
A Las Vegas police detective was allowed to keep his job despite posting photos of him aiming a gun at an image of President Obama and calling for a race war. He posted on his Facebook page, as you do, let's get this over. Race war. Civil. Revolution. Bring it. I'm about as fed up as a man, American, Christian, white, heterosexual can get. Detective Bobby Kinch wrote on his Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
He also reportedly posted photos of himself pointing a gun at a commemorative plate of the president. Federal agents prepared to detain Kinch and raid his house, but eventually decided he was not a legitimate threat. A year later, after a suspension, he's back on the job.
Who okayed that?
Race war guy.
Great.
A gun. Picture the president. Okay, that guy's okay. Let's go to Chuck in Tampa. Hmm. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chuck.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call to dispute Jim in Chicago. I don't believe he is actually a concealed carry holder, because I know in Florida, if you have a concealed carry permit, waiting periods no longer apply. You don't have to go through like a 3-day waiting for handguns or anything like that anymore, because you've already been trained and checked and vetted and all that.
Right.
So yeah, so I don't.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Holder. It's so unusual for someone to just call the radio show with some sort of unreliable statistic about guns.
Yeah. But he's a lawyer, so you need to pay attention to him.
Who represents guys that
yeah.
apparently all are married to lying bitches.
That's right. Bitch okay. had it coming.
Lance in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lance.
What's up, Miss Stephanie? Hello. How you doing?
Good, go ahead.
How you been?
Good.
Well, I'm going with a funny story. I've gone to a couple of the gun shows here in Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
and you have to pay to get in. When you pay to get in, you walk. You got to walk through the gate. Off. There's the NRA sitting right there wanting people to sign up. And they hand you the paper and say, yeah, we fight for your gun rights. So the lady handed me the paper. It just had a paragraph saying that the president will take your guns from you. And I asked her, I go, where is the bill? Where's the rest of the bill? I want to see the whole thing. I want to see the bill number, who brought it to the floor, who presented everything, and who argued for it. And she just looked at me like, you're not supposed to ask that question.
Oh.
What are you, a communist? Because you want to know facts and figures? I go, yeah. So every time I go to a gun show, which I don't use it that much anymore, I see her there. I walk up to you, got the rest of the bill, so I can read it. And she gets mad at me. She just turns around and walks away. And I keep telling my friends to go, stop listening to these people. Anytime they need money, they make up this stuff of, the president wants to take your guns from you. And they need money. So, y'all just keep shoveling money their way. And I kind of stuffed me, the sheriff here in my parish, my parish here.
Oh.
Okay. That's a bad phone. I didn't even catch the last part of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So the situation in Paris, this is like layers of tragedy. Mm-hmm. French police commissioner commits suicide after meeting with the family of a Charlie Hebdo victim. Last week, under the stress of the Charlie Hebdo killings, he reportedly had just met with one of the families of the massacre victims. He had been investigating the attacks on the magazine's office and was in the middle of completing a report with the victim's family, shot himself in the head in his office. The French prime minister yesterday.
We are doing everything we can to dismantle what appears to be a network or a larger group beyond these three terrorists.
The woman is still at large. I saw a photo of her mm-hmm. getting into Turkey, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, I'm just saying. Girls, please, Google the Islam. Really?
Google the ISIS.
They're just not that into you.
Yeah.
They're not that into chicks. Okay, Jane Hartley, U.S. Ambassador to France.
Just a sea of people, all ages, all ethnicities, with signs and flag and French flags and supporting freedom. It was unbelievably moving.
And she was the highest ranking U.S. official there.
Right. And the U.S., the White House admits it was wrong to not send a higher official to the Paris march. Josh Ernst said, I think it's fair to say we should have sent someone with a higher profile. There are some that suggested the U.S. presence at the march should have been represented by someone with a higher profile than the ambassador to France.
Biden was just sitting at his home in Delaware.
He stressed repeatedly the security precautions made it difficult for the president to participate on a moment's notice in an open-air rally with hundreds of thousands of other people. He said, we want to send a clear message, even in a symbolic context like this. The American people stand shoulder to shoulder with our allies in France.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we don't have time for him. We'll get to Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Who needs a human irritant right before the top of the hour, for God's sakes? All right, so the new Charlie Hebdo issue is going to publish. We'll mm-hmm. tell you about that and much more. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com as we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the.
Do you have any salsa?
Yes, I'll get you some. I'm sorry, birthday boy. Your tamale is here, but your chicken burger is late. It'll be here in a second. All right.
I'll put my cottage cheese into the refrigerator.
All right. I was doing my womanly duties. So yeah. I'll go see if I have salsa.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free. For, it must be being around all these men. I just get all girly. I get all girly and domestic. What's that, Betty Rubble? What was I doing?
You were. That was Betty Rubble. That was totes Betty Rubble.
You know what it is?
What?
Because Pop's desk is coming up. Twirl. Okay. And Jody Hamilton live in studio. Charlie Pierce at the bottom of this hour.
SRI.com.
The brilliant, the one and only. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, so we were talking gun talk, as you do.
How did we stumble upon that?
Because a Fox expert said the answer to the Paris thing is always more guns. If everybody had guns, it'd be...
Okay.
Just like America, where everybody has a gun, and there is zero gun violence,
yeah,
as we all know. Hey, case made. Point taken. Woo. Can't argue with that. Here is a future husband or future wife for George Zimmerman stack. Speaking of which, we just brought him up last
Okay.
week. He was just arrested again.
Yeah.
A woman from?
Florida.
Yes. Not just... Actually, every Florida woman story should start like this. Intoxicated Florida.
Woman.
Mom.
Mom. Oh, dear.
Look at her. Look what she brought into a bar.
You! You have a baby! In a bar!
Yes. Left child unattended at a bar. Okay, that headline's a little unfair, in that not totally unattended. She was dancing. She was dancing.
Did she have
the... So it sounds like she wasn't entertaining the kid.
Did she put the baby on the pool table or something while she danced?
What? No. A 28-year-old Florida mother is accused of child neglect after allegedly, some people call it neglect, some people call it entertainment. Mommy was doing a little lap dance or something. Not every kid wants to watch Frozen on an endless loop, I'm just saying. After allegedly leaving her one-year-old infant son in a high chair while she drank and danced the night away. So he was in a...
They have a high chair at a bar?
Well, they do with this one, or she brought her own.
All right.
She police responded to a call of an intoxicated customer at the Banana Boat Lounge and Restaurant, which sounds like a classy establishment. When officers arrived, they had gotten numerous complaints from the restaurant manager, concerned customers accusing her of leaving her crying infant unattended while she drank and socialized with other customers. According to the manager, Krause arrived at the restaurant around 5:30 Sunday, placed her son in a high chair, ordered food and a glass of wine, and that's when the trouble began.
Of course. When you break out the wine, that's always when the trouble begins.
Ooh, when the food arrived, she allegedly continued to socialize. Instead of feeding her child, she removed him from the high chair. Oh, well, so he presumably could have danced, too. If you don't want a party, you should go home.
Was she feeding him
she
potato skins?
She removed him from the high chair and it began to dance, bumping into a bar stool and falling to the ground. Okay, maybe he's just not much of a dancer, but he... fearing for the infant's safety, the restaurant manager called police, which outraged Krause, the woman, of course. I have to try to have a little drunken dance party with your toddler. And what kind of country is this? What sort of country do we live in? Somebody's got a problem with that.
Oh, they welcome that in
Florida.
That
outraged her, as it would. Let's see. She became yelling and screaming profanities, becoming violent and belligerent when the officers arrived on the scene. The police say she had a bottle of Michelob Ultra in the cup holder of her car.
At least she's going for the...
Took a roadie.
Well, yeah.
And a can of Angry Orchard was found in her purse.
Oh, all right. We run ads for Angry Orchard.
Do we?
Yes,
what
we
is
do.
Angry Orchard?
It's hard apple cider.
Oh! It's not like she didn't do any planning for the evening. She did do some planning.
And at least she was going low carb with the Michelob Ultra.
I'm just saying, she may have thought maybe the baby wants to dance. Since Mama's dancing, and so, okay.
Is the baby okay?
Yes,
okay.
The baby's fine. I wouldn't do the story if the baby
okay.
was.
Okay, all right. I just checking.
All right, let's go to Edna in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Edna.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Chris. Hey, I'm sorry if you hear background noise. I'm under the L on Wabash.
L on Wabash.
I know that stop
oh,
well.
That's noisy stop
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I was calling. I'm as happy-clappy a liberal as Mama, and I therefore believe that when something's not working for a country, that a responsible government evolves and changes to protect its citizens. And you've heard a lot about the Second Amendment and like what happened in Europe. You know, right. You guys are fairly well read on the nations that have evolved their gun control policies or banned gun ownership outright. And I'm curious, did those countries start out from a place like where we are, where they had, constitutional amendments, or they had pre-existing rules supporting more, regular access to guns, and then kind of made a bit of an evolution towards where they are now? Or I'd love to learn more about how you do rally about to that kind of change. I don't know if we could ever do it here.
We keep making the example of Australia, that they had one of which, like we seem to have every other week, but a huge massacre, mm-hmm. and they passed stringent gun laws, and guess what? The gun violence, dropped to almost nothing.
Yeah. Precipitously.
Okay, yeah, I was curious because it seems like the opposition to any sort of progress on gun control in this country is just, they're so quick to just keep pointing.
Yeah.
The Second Amendment, and, I don't think you can point to any 250-year-old law and interpret it verbatim.
Yeah.
But they do, and
other countries think we're insane, mm-hmm. You go, okay, United States congressman getting shot in the face. No,
right.
No gun laws. A bunch of sixth graders mowed down, at point-blank range by an AK-47. No.
But courts have shown that the Second Amendment doesn't mean unfettered and complete access to guns. You know, you can put restrictions on guns. You know, it's sensible gun control.
Absolutely right. Well, love you guys. Thank you for the lesson, and take care.
Love you, too. Okay, let's go to Jerry in Illinois. Hey, Jerry, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
You should focus on wine-related shenanigans not involving Stephanie every day.
Oh,
it makes Stephanie look better.
Yes, that's why I do those stories, because I'm like, wow.
Well, actually, I got two things. Now, I'll be quick about
okay.
it. First, Illinois gun laws. Whether you have a concealed carry permit or not, you still are required to have a FOID card, a firearms owner ID card. And all guns in Illinois, be they private or through a licensed dealer, require a background check and a waiting period. This is why, if you want to commit a crime with a gun and you live along the border, especially in Chicago, you take a 10-minute drive down the Dan Ryan and you go over into Indiana to a gun show. Or you drive north on the Dan Ryan into Wisconsin and you go to a gun show because
right.
private sales are not regulated.
Right.
The brilliant people at Fox, and if people should have been armed, I served 5 years between Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in firefights. I suffer from PTSD. In fact, that's why I'm where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting on my appointment today at the VA. when someone fires at you or around you,
right.
there is not this instantaneous quick draw effect. You need time to assess where the shot came from.
Right.
You need to assess, was it at you?
Right.
Ultimately.
And you're somebody highly trained. Imagine a normal person with no training that's panicked.
Yeah, it's not possible, because the first thing that happens is tactically, your skin tightens. You kind of go numb. It doesn't matter if you've been if it's your first firefight or your tenth.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You get tunnel vision, you tighten up, and you're trained not to just start squeezing your trigger.
Yeah. Look at how many accidental police shootings there are. I mean, and they're highly trained mm-hmm. for these situations. And that's all I'm saying is I'm so sick of these armchair, I would have done this. No, you wouldn't, Buford. You would have pooed your pants is what you would have done. By the way, speaking of which, I have a holiday responsible gun owner stack.
All right.
Responsible gun owner shoots neighbor hanging Christmas lights because he hates big government. Richard Carter, you can call him Dick, waged his own special war on Christmas when he took two pot shots at his neighbor Don Lesser while Lesser was outside hanging his Christmas lights. Luckily, Lesser's only injury is a cut lip from a ricocheting bullet. Neighbors told police Carter was paranoid about Big Gummer and had even posted signs outside of his home in the past. So that's sort of like a, you know, what's his name from Vacation?
Clark Griswold.
Clark Griswold. A heavily armed Clark Griswold.
Great.
Yes. A woman accidentally shoots herself while trying to fend off robbers. In Oklahoma, a woman has been hospitalized to try to fend off two people who tried to rob her home in Tulsa, but accidentally ended up shooting herself. By the way, this happens fairly regularly. I know, Max. Mama's almost ready.
Is he okay?
Yes, he wants us to know the chicken burgers are ready and Mama needs to hurry with this.
Are they burning?
No, they're fine.
Okay.
She was outside having a yard sale when a man and woman approached her. While the suspects began gathering up the victim's belongings, she produced a gun to defend herself. Sanders said the male suspect tried to wrangle the gun away from her, and the victim accidentally shot herself in the hand.
Aha.
The struggle.
I see. Well, that'll happen.
Okay, so Charlie Pierce coming up at the bottom of the hour, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, one of the most popular and funny liberal radio hosts in the country.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Why there's so many dogs around?
Because there's food in here.
Because we're shoving Chris Malloy birthday tamales in our pie holes. I wonder if Jody Hamilton would like one. I have more.
I'm sure she would.
What about you, Sean? Okay.
Would you like a tamale?
Travis? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? All right. 23 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Sean's going to learn real quick that we eat dinner food for breakfast.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember Tim A used to make flapjacks before the show?
Yeah. He make them at home.
Not here. Yeah. At home.
Yeah. That ended really quickly.
Yeah. He was a little eager beaver.
Yeah.
He thought these hours were great at first. Okay. all right, 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, is something else made Ted Cruz sad for America?
Yes.
He's always very sad. He's very disappointed, very sad.
How sad was it in the streets of Paris as 40 world leaders walked down the street? Absent was the United States of America. Where was the president?
By the way, I just learned something else.
Yes.
That picture with the leaders of the world, you know, walking
rushing the barricades.
They weren't
in Les Miserables.
That was a photo op on a side street, and so it was.
And if the president had showed up, guess what? Ted Cruz would have called it
a photo op.
Photo op.
Yeah.
Photo op. Yeah.
But it was.
Why isn't the president back here doing something about the economy and jobs and blah blah blah, blah and wage inequality, which we Republicans have fought so hard for? Against,
but it was a secure area, a cleared area, okay. And so the president could have gone. There were no safety.
Okay.
Yeah. I understand.
Gloria in North Carolina. It's just so hard because Ted Cruz is so perpetually sad.
I know
about everything. He's just so sad for America.
But you know, it just kind of goes back to the White House might have a problem with optics.
Was there anyone else perhaps running for president that had anything to say about... Oh, yes, look, it's Senator Marco Rubio also had something to
say. Anyone. I mean, the important thing, some high-ranking official from the administration should have been there, would have been good if they had been there, would have shown a strong level of solidarity. I think in hindsight, I would hope they would say, yeah, maybe we should have done it differently. But the more important issue is the terrorism that happened and how we can prevent that moving forward.
Okay. Thank you, Marco.
No.
Josh Earnest was a little more reasoned than
Ted Cruz.
Well, and Josh Earnest did, as I said earlier, he did say, yes, we should have.
Some have asked whether or not the United States should have sent someone with a higher profile than the ambassador to France. And I think it's fair to say that we should have sent someone with a higher profile to be there. That said, there is no doubt that the American people and this administration stand four square behind our allies in France.
Has anyone thought of the ambassador to France's feelings in all of this? No. No, they have not.
Says no.
What am I? Pate? What am I? Chopped liver here?
But she's always there. It wasn't a lot for her to walk down the street to the...
I understand.
Okay.
Michael in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Travis and Timmy.
Yeah.
Timmy.
No Timmy. Timmy's in Alaska for the next 4 months. We got Sean now.
Yeah.
Sean, okay. If all these
just think of them as Murphy Brown secretaries. I don't know. I don't even know who's over there. Oh, hi. Okay, go.
Okay. If all these protests in France are going on about the right to free expression, why then does France have in its laws that women can't wear a hijab or a burqa? So how can all those heads of state stand in solidarity over free expression at the same time as France limits women's religious expression?
That's a good point. Yeah. That is
a
problem.
We were saying some of the people marching are not exactly,
free
of free expression.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
But that is a problem in France.
Yeah.
You know, they have banned burqas.
The Charlie Hebdo new issue, by the way, of course, will include cartoons of Muhammad. And as we were saying, a lot more people are going to see them now.
Have you seen the cover photo?
I have not.
It's a cartoon of Muhammad holding up a sign that says, Je suis Charlie.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Nice. Before the Paris attack, Charlie Hebdo's circulation hovered around 45,000. When it releases its new issue, tomorrow, they'll be printing 1 million copies. And they have said that it will contain cartoons featuring the Prophet Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
The lawyer for Charlie Hebdo said, "We will not give in. The spirit of I am Charlie means the right to blaspheme." And I'm sure that there's going to be fears of more, retaliation. But this is what you call it, a rally, a march, or whatever is saying we will. You know, George Clooney said it, that we will not be silenced. That's what, you know, these people are trying to say.
Yeah.
Let's go to Francis in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Francis.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Boynton Beach, and I live in the town where that then lady got a little intoxicated. And I just come to the defensive. You know, there's always bad things. The man from Florida, the woman from Florida.
Yeah. Right. Why is that?
We live in Palm Beach County. You guys know the Mason-Dixon line. You know,
yes.
North Florida is a different world.
Yep,
I know.
It's South Florida.
Right.
Okay. Well, the place.
And then you got your redneck Riviera, correct?
There are a lot of people from Fort Lauderdale in these stories, though.
Well, we're in Boynton Beach. We're 60 miles north of Miami.
Uh-huh.
It's paradise up here. The place is right on the intercoastal. You know, it's a great establishment, open air, outside. So there's a bar right next door to, you know, in the same place. So she just had to walk 10 feet. There's a dance floor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great establishment. You can see her mugshot. If you saw her mugshot, you'd realize where we're coming from. One other thing, can I talk about?
WTF with Florida, though, that is the question of the ages. Mm-hmm. It's the question of our time, of our generation.
Well,
WTF Florida.
We've never gotten a good answer out of Jackie Schechner.
We have not. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
We need you around for a long time. Without you, we'd have to find some other sex-fueled depraved animal to entertain us.
Oh dear, we just had an international tamale incident with Max.
Well,
Chris, all right. Everybody settle. Okay, 34 minutes after the hour. Jody Hamilton coming up live in studio. Bob Seska.
With cupcakes.
Birthday cupcakes for Chris and Bob Seska, bottom of the hour. Why? Look who's here, because it's Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
I don't get any cupcakes.
No, because you're not here, Charlie.
Because I'm not in Los Angeles. I don't get any of Carol Burnett's grandkid cupcakes. Very disappointed.
And you didn't get tamales. You didn't get chicken burgers.
I watched a rerun of her show. Boy, she's funny.
Carol Burnett.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm glad you discovered that.
They're showing them on a channel called MeTV again.
Right. MeTV is very cool. You know why? Because you get to watch Donna Reed in the morning.
Yes.
I don't think they have the Patty Duke show yet.
Some people
they're negotiating.
Some people mistake it for me for my show, but yes.
And they also have the Brady.
I was just cooking for all of you with my I put my pearls on when I did that.
And MeTV also has the Brady Brunch. They show like 5 episodes in a row of the Brady Bunch on Sunday mornings.
That's true. You can see Marcia get nubile.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wonderful. Like time-lapse photography.
Charlie, speaking of entertainment.
So are we going to talk about politics now? Because, you know, that would be dull.
Actually, I wanted to talk about...
By the way, Stephanie, why weren't you in Paris holding hands in that photo op?
It's a long...
You could have held hands with Angela Merkel.
Right. Because I obviously hate solidarity, and I am miserable.
And you want people to die, basically.
Yes,
you want
that's
cartoonists
it. Right.
to be killed.
Right, because I love terrorists. All right, Charlie, I was going to say, speaking of entertainment, I just love this. You saw the Golden Globes. Did you see the Margaret Cho doing Kim Jong-un?
Yes. She's no Jim Ward, but she's pretty fun.
Right. But I just love this. So this is from BuzzFeed. It's no small feat to generate more controversy than a Bill Cosby rape joke, but Margaret Cho managed it at the Golden Globes. In her appearance as Cho Young-ja, a North Korean general and journalist who the host, of course, Tina and Amy, claimed was the newest member of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. So she did this whole... Right, she did the whole bit. She was dressed in the, you know, military uniform, spoke in a heavy accent, and affected gruff humorlessness. She talked about Orange is the New Black. It's funny, but not ha-ha funny. Also, Piper and Alex's relationship is very toxic. And then she demanded the selfie with Meryl Streep. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought, if you saw it.
She also goose-stepped very well.
Yes, and she declared the show...
I can't remember who she goose-stepped off the stage in front of, but they were stunned.
She declared the show a failure due to the lack of Dennis Rodman and babies playing guitars. But I just love this. The bit instantly became the most divisive aspect of the ceremony, with some calling it out as a racist caricature and others defending it. It's a genuinely edgy moment. But she's North Korea. She said, I am of North and South Korean descent, and I do impressions of my family and my work all the time. This is just another example of that. I'm from this culture. I'm from this tribe, so I'm able to comment on it.
She was a celebrity guest on Wait, Don't Tell Me every weekend on NPR. Once, and she did this thing about her mother that was absolutely a scream. I'm not entirely sure we ran it because, you know, it's public radio.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes things go long on that show.
What?
Sometimes things go long on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
But anyway, wasn't the Golden Globes, by the way, wasn't that the award show that, like, Pia Zadora bought her way into once?
Yes.
Yes.
Pia Zadora's husband.
Right. She had some 80-year-old Australian sugar daddy, right?
Svengali, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I just found this hilarious, because you remember when we've had Mei Lee on, somebody on Twitter accused her of stealing Margaret Cho's act. It's like, she's Korean. Her mother sounds Korean, too. She can talk about
it. We only allow one Korean in our popular culture.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, she said, I can do whatever I want when it comes to Koreans. North Korean, South Korean, I'm not playing the race card, I'm playing the rice card. I'm the only person in the world, probably, that can make these jokes and not be placed in a labor camp. She is hilarious. And she just went on to say, I feel that there's negativity, it's other people's judgments about what they feel Asian Americans are allowed to do, really. You're putting expectations on us that we have to remain Asian American, that we can't actually play people from Asia. When we have British people playing American icons, there's no backlash, but for Asian Americans, it's a very particular set of expectations that we're set to maintain, and that in itself is racist. I think that's a really good point.
Aren't the actors playing both Lyndon Johnson and George Wallace in Selma? Aren't they both British? Is it Tim Roth and Tom Wilkins?
Tom Wilkins? Yeah. Yes, you're right. Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, she finished up. I just thought it was great. She said, if it's Asian Americans making fun of Asians, we're claiming our own voice, we're claiming our heritage, we're claiming all the aspects of our own culture, and we're allowed to, even though it may get us put in a labor camp. If that happens, you have to send Bill Clinton to come get me. it's interesting, right? And all this, like, talking about freedom of expression, right? Whether it's Charlie Hebdo, Charlie, or, the interview, the Sony hack, all of this stuff. And you think, calling Margaret Cho racist?
That wonderful moment where Amy Poehler and Tina Fey did the Bill Cosby joke.
Yes.
And they panned to the audience, and it looked like the audience at the end of Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah.
The first number.
Yes.
Where they're all just sort of sitting there.
Yep.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious. So, Charlie, speaking of comedy, you said, remember back in the heady days of 2002 when everyone thought Don Rumsfeld was a hunk of huck and burden old guy with his vacant amorphisms and his ignorance of everything for which he was supposed to be responsible? Yeah, I never, as you said, there were people getting positively moist over the wrinkly mastermind. I never got that, the whole...
Well, that's good for me to hear.
Yeah. You said...
check that off my list of Stephanie gets moist over here that I keep on my desk.
Rumsfeld slammed President Obama over his failure to secure a status of a forces agreement. This is Afghanistan, right? He said,
hang on just 1 second. This is a story from a year ago.
Right. And he said a trained...
That got no coverage, as near as I can tell.
Right. He said a trained Abe could get a status of forces agreement, blah, blah, blah.
No, he said that. I didn't say that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Donald Rumsfeld said. Yeah. Right.
Good God.
Yes. But I mean, it just is incredible that they drag these guys out. As you say, under his leadership, you may recall the U.S. went to two wars with inadequate preparation, one of them purely based on lies. And it just, it is amazing. They just sort of, as you say, now Donald Rumsfeld, who couldn't manage a toy boat in a washtub, gets to say something cute about the president. And I mean, there's just no context anymore, right, in the mainstream media. Oh, he chuckled warmly.
It's just, I mean, it's astonishing to me. And this whole not going to Paris thing, which is apparently, you know, lit everybody on fire. I don't get that one either.
Yeah.
I think they might have sent someone besides someone who was already there.
Well, they sent, well.
Biden was just kind of sitting at home in his.
The Canadian sent their minister of public safety. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Angela Merkel, it's a commute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the best point was, above all, was made by Reporters Without Borders, who said, you see all these people who are marching for freedom of expression? They're throwing reporters in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many of them were.
The guy from the UAE? Give me a break.
Yeah. Some layers of irony there. John Kerry, Secretary of State, talked to address that, Charlie. Take a listen.
Oh, and he also parlez-vous français.
He did.
Yes, he did. Hang on.
I don't think the people of France have any doubt.
Remember when knowing how to speak French meant you were surrendering to the terrorists?
Right. Yes, well, you're a cheese-eating surrender monkey. Well, here he is.
10 years ago when being French was an insult, and now just you're squeezed. Charlie.
Yeah, now we're all Charlie.
I've been Charlie my entire life, okay?
Yeah.
I don't need these people.
Yeah, you and...
Yeah, when I say that, I mean you. Yeah. I mean
you and we kind of traffic in satire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have been Charlie.
Yeah, and I'm not going to listen to a bunch of people who thought the French were, you know, who made surrender jokes about the French for a decade, now tell me how brave they are and how cowardly the president is.
Yeah. More importantly, as you asked this week, you asked in all sincerity, have I mentioned recently what a colossal... Rick Santorum is.
Yeah, he's starting quickly. He's very far down the colossal road already. He's taking on everybody.
Yeah, he said, do we really want someone with this little experience, referring to Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio in one fell swoop, right? They're just bomb throwers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I don't know that it was Cruz and Rand Paul who were the bomb throwers. It was Rubio who had no experience.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, as far as I can tell. Yeah, he's got, you know, colossal Dickensian tendencies for different reasons on different guys.
As you were saying, as far as being a bomb thrower goes, has Santorum forgotten that he spent the 2012 primary warning us that the RAN was about to commit national suicide, launching a nuclear blah, 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 mm-hmm. man on dog business?
The Crusades not being a war of aggression.
Yes.
Favorite part.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't right. You say Santorum has thrown bombs from 2011 back into the 13th century. And then anyway, but it is interesting what's going on. You say there's a couple of primaries going on, the fat wallet primary between, I guess, Jeb and Mitt, maybe Chris Christie, and then whatever, the crazy pack that Rick Santorum will be in, right?
Well, yeah, but we're now getting into different layers of crazy, too.
Right.
I mean, because there's the Christian crazy and there's kind of the secular crazy, which is more Rand Paul and Ted Cruz.
Right.
And then there's the Christian crazy. And I don't know where Marco Rubio fits in this.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always just a little, he always looks a little bewildered after the whole immigration unpleasantness.
Well, he did an interview with CBS Evening News last night where he basically talked about all the things the president hasn't done and not a thing about what he would do. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Republican MO though.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. There's no need for a plan.
Right.
Charlie, you were also, before you go, talking about the General Petraeus unpleasantness that has been brought up.
This is
whether the Department of Justice and FBI are going to charge him because he, as you say, he apparently leaked classified information to get laid. Which is new.
I don't know. I think this might be a little bit of overreach, but it's an interesting as hell story, and it's very interesting that it was released on Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
tells me that there's a there.
Yeah, there's some there, but, you know, this administration's been a little bit nutty on this. And, you know, I suspect he won't be charged because he's got too many people, you know, running interference for him, including Dianne Feinstein. So, you know, I don't think he'll get charged. I think it's kind of amusing that Edward Snowden's in Moscow and this guy's going to think tanks over here.
Yeah.
He's charged with essentially the same thing.
Yeah. You're right.
You know, I mean, outside of amusement purposes, you know, fine him, you know.
Yeah.
Just, you know, fine him and make an example of him, but I don't know. I don't know if that's really warranted.
I
don't know what he told this woman either.
We still don't know what he told her.
No, I keep referring back.
And how is that foreplay? For what?
Referring back to that great line from the movie Bull Durham, where Susan Sarandon talks about bringing a guy over and reading Walt Whitman to him, and she's saying, "Guys are so nice; they'll do anything as long as they think it's foreplay."
Yeah.
You know.
I was just gonna say. I guess that turned some woman on somewhere. Classified information.
Every pot has its lid.
Before you go, Charlie, let me say.
Give me your big encryption key, Big Daddy.
Yes, oui, Charlie, before you go, just want to say that.
Oui.
Yes, oui, Charlie Pierce. Okay.
Je suis Stephanie.
Voulez-vous que je chef avec moi?
Hey, Chris, how many Lavoies still speak French? Lots of them, or?
Lavoies?
Yeah, do you have relatives who still speak it?
Oh, God. Maybe some of the ones in New Hampshire might still speak it.
Okay.
Because that's close to Quebec.
Yeah, you'll see signs up there that still say ici on parle français.
Oh yeah,
gas stations and stuff. Yeah,
the cable companies up there—they carry the French-speaking stations from Quebec.
Hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, Mandu, we're running late now.
Uh-oh.
J'accuse you.
This was a highly political conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Au revoir. Bonjour.
Thanks, Charlie.
Bonjour. All right. 47 minutes after the hour, right back. Jody Hamilton coming up. Bob Seska, much more. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'll say this about Stephanie's show. She's as harmless as a kitten.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Oh, look, Fred has a new petty person. Jody Hamilton, who is delightful, is live in studio with us.
And she's fascinating.
She is damn fascinating.
And Fred just wants me for the cupcakes.
Yes. Oh, and you brought birthday cupcakes for Chris Lavoy.
Yay!
Thank you. And they're very good.
They are good. I didn't make them, though. I just waited in a long line.
Oh.
Thank you for waiting
that
in the line.
That's more impressive in LA.
I waited in line.
It really is. This ain't Mayberry people. You wait a long time in L.A. for cupcakes. Thank you, Jody. That's so nice. Precious little pumpkin face. All right. We were talking about the rally in France. John Kerry talking about that.
I don't think the people of France have any doubt about America's understanding of what happened. The relationship with France is not about one day or one particular moment. It's an ongoing, long-time relationship.
Right, they, you know, helped us win the Revolutionary War.
They gave us that big statue in New York.
I don't want to get all history on your ass.
Yeah.
But Bob Seska, who's coming up at the bottom next hour, Jody, of course, writes a great piece about desperate freedom fries conservatives attack Obama for not marching in France. I'm old enough to remember when any American leader who stood in solidarity with France was relentlessly hectored by the American right. And they were saying, remember when John Kerry ran in 24 because he spoke fluent French?
Yes,
he was insulted. Remember the Bush campaign? Someone called him too French?
Right.
Yeah.
which was code for then for too gay. Remember?
Little, yeah.
French
it's gay, a little gay.
Same thing. Right. For a short and shockingly insane period of time, the House conservatives actually changed French fries and French toast to Freedom Fries and Freedom Toast, as you remember in the
I
cafeteria.
I do recall, yes.
Yeah, and now we're all France, apparently.
Apparently.
Yes.
Je suis Charlie. Je suis France.
Oh, exactly.
Je suis France.
Thank you, Lavoie. All right, Gloria in North Carolina, you are on with Jody. Hello, Gloria.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. It sounds like a porn film because Fred is panting over Jody.
Into the microphone.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. That's all right. Go ahead.
Okay, Stephanie, I wanted to ask some of the listeners a question. Maybe they can explain this to me. Why is it that people that, as far as using guns are concerned, feel like that they had some calling from God to take another person's life? Why is it that Darren Wilson, for instance, if
right.
he could have changed it, he wouldn't have changed anything. The same thing with George Zimmerman.
Right.
He wouldn't have changed anything.
Well, he is obviously of sterling character.
He is.
And I say that as someone who has probably hurled a wine bottle or two at someone. But I
You've hurled one at me.
Well, I missed because I was...
drunk.
Right, so...
Well, yeah.
At least I have that going for me.
Right.
It's not good aim
exactly.
when you're drunk.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Of all the people that Fred adores, look at that. That's getting a little...
Whatever
Jody
breathy.
Says is just like...
He knows how to get a close-up.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Camera hog. Robert in Florida, you're on with Jody. Hello, Robert.
Ciao, bella, or should I say bonjour, mon ami?
Ah, both. Go ahead.
We're going French today.
All right.
You played clips earlier of Senator Rubio and that other Mignon Cruz saying how what a bad president we had for not going to France. Well, wait a minute. The whole march was about freedom of speech. Don't they believe in freedom of speech? Why didn't they walk over there, I mean, fly over there and walk with those people?
Yeah.
You know, we had John McCain a year ago go to Syria and Libya and tell us that, oh, these people are good people, and then turn out to be terrorists. But,
right.
you know, no one, we told him not to go there, but he went anyways.
Right.
You know, so, you know. These
that's different. He's a Republican and he's a white guy.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, there's Mingdom over there. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Time for some traffic problems on the Champs-Élysées.
I don't even know what that means. I've been on the Champs.
Oh, me too. As far as we Americans call it, the Champs-Élysées Boulevard.
Yep.
Where do that be? Well, that Eiffel Tower. Is it? You go up to Champs-Élysées or what do you do?
Under the Arch of Triumph.
Yeah, Big Ben, is that a clock or a bear? I forget which. Can somebody...
Oh,
when whenever you go, do you always like see those Americans? You're like, oh, no, it's the ugly American.
They always have fanny packs. Always.
Yes. Always, right?
Yes, it's not a good look.
No.
Oh, Lord. Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah,
thank God there's a McDonald's. There's Mickey D's, honey, on the Champs-Élysées.
God, you think Southwest Airlines went to Paris with all those kinds of people going there.
Greyhound with wings.
Yeah.
Just encourages all these fat Americans. I don't look anywhere! Woohoo! Bonjour! Shoot. Okay.
Let's you see. Got any of those escargots?
Honey! Honey, they got escargot!
I like them snails.
We got them in our garden. Let's watch when we get some butter and cook them up! All right, Chris in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Jody. Hello, Chris.
Oh, she's on the other line with her insurance company.
Oh, okay, good. Well, good luck
yeah.
with that. Good
all
luck.
Right.
We're all wishing you well.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay, Cliff in
Chris.
Oh, Chris in Chicago. There you are. Okay.
Bon anniversaire, Chris. That's all I was saying.
Merci beaucoup.
Yeah, de rien. And
bonjour.
Bonjour tout le monde. I was in France last September, and I lived in France, and I speak French, but let me explain a couple of things. That outer manifestation of garb, religious garb, it is all-encompassing. It's not just the hijab or all the other Arab garb. You're not supposed to wear any outward manifestations of your Christianity's huge crosses. You're not supposed to wear the kippah, which is sort of like a yarmulke.
Yeah, that's a problem. I have a problem with
me
that.
Me too.
All of them, and what they were trying to do is, this is what they were trying to do. I'm not saying it was successful because it wasn't. They were trying to make it so that no one would discriminate against somebody else because of their religion.
Religion.
Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. 6 minutes after the hour. Why? Because the delightful Jody Hamilton is live in studio and yet oddly jingle-less. Rocky Mountain Mike, where are you? All right.
He's
good
probably,
morning.
He's probably working right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, he has a job?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. And Jody just informed us that a celebrity is listening.
He is. Gregory Harrison.
Trapper John is listening.
Trapper John himself.
Hi, Trapper John.
And he was in Fresno
with my mom.
With your mom.
He was.
So he had his shirt off in every scene.
Carol Burnett.
Yes.
Her mom is Carol Burnett.
Yes.
By the way, here's a little phone etiquette for when our very good friend Jody Hamilton is here. When you are calling in, could you please say, why, Jody, aren't you delightful and damn fascinating? And aren't you smart and funny? Don't you add a lot to the show? By the way, I also love your mother.
Yes.
Okay. Whereas I will demonstrate last week, correct? Hi, Jody, I love your mother. Tell Carol Burnett I said I love her. I love Carol Burnett. Jody, I love Carol Burnett.
They're the
ones. Remember that one time she did that one thing that was funny?
At band camp?
Yeah.
People. God. A little sensitivity of a lifetime of, you know.
I'm fine. I have a shrink. It's fine.
Okay.
And you grew up with other famous kids.
I did.
Famous people's kids.
I did. We all go to meetings.
Yeah.
famous parents' kids, anonymous.
Mindy yeah. Rickles, the
but
New
except
Heart
it's not
children.
Anonymous because everyone knows who your parents
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
Hi, John Rickles, kid. It's funny. Okay, Bob Seska coming up at the bottom of the hour from Hawaii.
Yes.
From an island I used to live on.
That's right. Oh, by the way, did you know
you
that Jody?
You are damn fascinating.
Jody's
know?
Mom is Carol Burnett, who used to live I love your mom.
Remember the time when she did the thing as Mrs. Wiggins? She did the thing in her butt and
yeah.
never was it.
Okay.
I am really catching up on the Carol Burnett show because of MeTV.
Thank God for MeTV.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And somebody I used to work for did all the digitizing for the show.
Oh, sweet.
So what, you lived Big Island?
We lived on the Big Island and on Maui.
Wow. How old was yous?
I moved tomorrow. It will be, the 33 years ago tomorrow we lived there.
Wow. Already a rain woman. I didn't
I
know
it's
would
weird.
Specifically, that was really, wow.
It was 4 days before my birthday. That's why I remember.
Aww, precious pumpkin. All right, Cliff in Oklahoma has been waiting. Talk to Jody. Hello, Cliff.
Ah, bonjour, comment ça va?
Ah, bonjour.
Ah, ça va bien?
Ah, je suis Charlie.
Yeah, je parle un petit peu. Mon père poste embassy aux États-Unis à Paris.
All right, I'm out. I don't know what you're saying.
465.
Aha, okay.
Français.
Yeah.
My dad was in the Marine Corps, of course.
Oh, all right.
Stationed in France.
Yes,
Yes.
Yeah, embassy.
Okay,
but
cool.
But anyways, I just wanted to call and let you know that 10 years ago, I think it was New Hampshire that voted for George W. Bush. And this was during the same time that they were calling the French cheese-eating surrender
right.
monkey.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Well, New Hampshire is one of the bastions of conservatism in New England still.
Yeah, they have a very libertarian streak. I mean, their motto is live free or die.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. And that's,
smoke
that's
a dude while you're
French.
Doing it.
It's so ironic that they want to go ahead and bash the French, the Republicans have, and yet... places like Maine, Louisiana, and New Hampshire are three of the biggest French.
Yeah, French-speaking states.
Predominantly French states.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right. All right. Thank you, honey, for that. Mon Dieu.
Mon
okay.
Dieu.
Huh? What?
Okay. Although Canadian French is very different from
yes
from. French.
Yes. All right. Dianne Feinstein talking about the aftermath of Paris. Senator Dianne Feinstein. Here she is.
Uh-huh.
And here
I
she
think
comes.
There are sleeper cells not only in France, but certainly in other countries. And yes, even in our own.
That's what we've been told. Is that they're like, they're not actually sleeping or hibernating. They're just inactive.
Right. They just, you know, they're like yeast that needs a little water.
Right.
One way to put it.
You know.
All right. I was on the lovely and talented John Fugelsang's new radio show yesterday, which was fun and fabulous.
And damn fascinating.
Yes.
It was.
Oh,
I listened to almost all 3 hours.
Right. He's on the new channel, 121. By the way, so I saw someone tweeted, when will Stephanie be on SiriusXM? I've been on SiriusXM for how many years now?
Quite a few.
Channel 127, people, for God's sakes, 9 to noon.
Yep.
All right.
Eastern. Come 9 on, to Eastern. Noon Eastern.
Pay attention, peoples. Okay. Actually, the head of Sirius said, oh, it's nice to hear you on another channel. And I said, you know, the
Stephanie Miller
channel has a nice ring to it. Let's check into that.
Always selling.
All of them eventually.
Always selling.
That's right. Listen, I'm on his good side. He just turned on I reactivated my membership.
Right.
Because you know me, when I'm a day without my Seriously Sinatra.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Or my coffee house or my 40s on 4.
I know.
Yeah. You do not want to be around. Okay. All right. Anyway, but John mentioned this piece, which is great, which was in the Daily Beast, Daniel Gross. The GOP should stop lying about Obama's economy. This is, it is to laugh, Jody Hamilton.
It is.
For years, Republicans have been spewing doomsday rhetoric, but the stock market is booming, the deficit's shrinking, the economy is adding lots of jobs. Friday's BAFO jobs report, the 58th straight month of job growth and expansion has now entered its 67th month, was only the latest in a long string of positive economic data. The recovery started, of course, July 2009, has been the most politicized partisan expansion I can recall. Indeed, in the last 6 years, monthly data like the unemployment report have greeted by critics with apocalyptic declarations, all of which have been wrong, wrong, wrong!
Unless you talk to Mitch McConnell and then it's all they're doing that everything's
right.
Good.
Right.
Of course.
Right. It's all horrible, but now that it's good, they did it clearly.
Right.
The Wall Street Journal editorial from 2009, some examples. Obama's radicalism is killing the Dow. And by killing, they mean it closed at over 17,000 Friday, which is a 168% increase.
Well, yeah.
Right.
That's
I don't think
they
published any kind of follow-up to that. you'd think this would occasion a few mea culpas, some rethinking and admission of poor prognostication, but alas, no,
no.
It continues. Oh, Jack Welch, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He famously tweeted, unbelievable job. He suggested they were cooking the books on the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable job numbers. These Chicago guys will do anything. Can't debate till they change the numbers. In fact, we know that job report was one of a continuing series, 59 straight months and counting. Which the economy is that? Just like, I guess they cooked the books.
Yes.
So is he for or against dynamic scoring?
Oh, I'm sure the Republican math?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's
for it. Totes
yes,
for it.
For it. Mitt Romney, you recall this, said if he were to be elected, the unemployment rate would fall below 6% by the end. By the way, the rate just fell to 5.6%.
Huh.
Under President Obama. In
right.
case you were
Obama.
Just, Obama. The rollout of Obamacare, you remember those apocalyptic?
Of course.
Yes. John Boehner actually said there are less people today with health insurance than there were before this law went into effect.
You're a lying sack of
crap. Oh, by the way, didn't Rocky Mountain Mike send all the other versions of lying sack of crap?
Yes.
Which we are so going to need for our new Republican overlords.
In fact, the very, very first thing he sent to us in 2007
yes.
was a Pink Floyd version of lying sack of crap.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah.
That's great.
Carl's a lying sack of crap. They'll lock you up and throw away the key. There's someone on your side, but it's not me.
Nice. That
yeah.
Thank you, Rocky.
That
Mountain
was the
Mike.
Very first thing Rocky Mountain Mike sent to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Virtually everything GOP critics have told us would follow from the policies in place has not come to pass. Republicans are conceding things might be looking up. Now they're finally saying it's looking up. But why? As you said, Jody, because the GOP won control and people
are so excited. All 19% of us that voted
yes,
for them. Yes.
For 59 months, people have been so excited that they knew there would be a Republican. Oh, do you have another one? I think we may need it for Mitch McConnell.
You're a lying sack of crap. Stinking nasty sack of crap. A scheming, stinking sack of crap. You're a lying, stinking sack of crap.
Nice.
That's pretty.
That's pretty.
It's a nice visual.
Yeah, that's pretty.
It's pretty.
Pretty.
It's pretty.
And now you know what they're outraged about. What's going on with this wages, with this income inequality? Why? If only Elizabeth Warren would stop obstructing us, we could.
God.
As it turns out, Democrats have a plan. They unveiled a proposal to boost the middle class by giving many families a tax cut that would be countered by a fee on financial transactions and reduce tax benefits for the top 1% of earners. Income inequality has been a major issue for Democrats. The proposal will have little chance in Congress, where Republicans now have the majorities. But they are outraged about it.
Outraged.
What is going on with these wages? Why are the wages not higher? What? Why is the president so...
Jetson!
Get in my office.
I always feel so much smarter when I come here.
Yeah.
Yes, I do the cartoon version. Hey, look, Libby is a podcast fan of Jody Hamilton, who is delightful. Libby in North Carolina.
And she's damn fascinating.
Yes.
Hello, Miss Jody, who is so delightful.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I hope you are.
I am. How's your wife?
Oh, she's awesome. She's fantastic. She's retired.
Oh, my God. You just outed her on the air.
She's outed herself.
You mean Libby is a... Okay. Hi, Libby. Go ahead.
Mama, I wish to register a complaint.
Oh, hang on. Let me call HR.
HR!
Yes, yes. Hi. Welcome to the HR department. Hello.
Yes. In 2010, I seem to recall at a sexy liberal concert in Raleigh, North Carolina, you got a little handsy with my wife on stage.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
And I wish to register a complaint.
Oh, dear. All right.
Talk to Travis.
All right.
See, Travis and I have something in common now.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. Let me write that down. I'm writing that down, Libby. All right. I'm putting that in my file, and I take it very, very seriously.
Although Stephanie has made out with Travis and with Travis's boyfriend.
Okay. She didn't even look at me.
Yeah, Steph.
Yeah, come on.
I was like, what am I, chopped liver?
And really, with my lack of discretion, that is quite an indictment of you, I'm sorry to say. All right. Love you, but I obviously love your wife more.
I know. I'm standing there thinking, who is this Hollywood Jezebel pawing my wife?
Me. Pawing her like a... All right.
I mean, my gosh.
All right.
Right?
Libby,
right?
Thanks for calling, and go stuff it. Love you. All right, fine. She likes the abuse.
Her wife is hot.
You always seem to ferret out the ones who like the little spanking.
20 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Jody Hamilton live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Engaged in a kiss. The sweat of the body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steph isn't here because she's doing
there
something.
There she is.
Hello. What happened?
Happen until I get here. What is the name on the giant sign?
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Uh-huh. All right. 25 minutes after the
I've hour. Taken over for you before. Especially when you had to
when she has Ebola.
Yeah, when you have to leave the room and take a giant dump.
Oh, stop it.
What?
I leave the seat up when I use the restroom down here.
Well, you have to.
I put the seat back up because it's all boys here.
Well, the dogs also drink out of there.
Right. Yeah, that's their bowl.
Yeah, we've been told to leave the seat up.
Yes.
I'm very good at that.
All right, as you said, Chris, it turns out CENTCOM needed a different password than 123. Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Or password.
Password.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yes, the Twitter account for, CENTCOM.
Yeah.
was hacked. Although you said the hacking, technically, if you just said a dumb password, it's not really.
If you have a stupid password, that's not really a hacking. That's just figuring out a password.
Right.
Yeah. Hacking
your
is when
your account wanted it. It was dressed seductively.
Hacking is when you go through like firewalls to break into like a mainframe.
Right. They tweeted, ISIS is already here. We are in your PCs, in each military base. With Allah's permission, we are in CENTCOM now. And then the information tweeted out from the CENTCOM Twitter account by the hackers included contact information for high-ranking military officials. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
But apparently all of that was on the Internet anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, so it wasn't...
Yes. Wasn't like the Sony hack.
Exactly.
Stupid sleeper cell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like ISIS is, you know, being a copycats.
You get
they're trying to copy North Korea, and they're not succeeding.
North Korea is a lot better
yeah.
at copycats. A lot better.
Okay, Josh Ernest on that.
A note of caution to folks as they're covering this story. There's a pretty significant difference between what is a large data breach and the hacking of a Twitter account.
Yeah. So that happened and we let it. You know what? I think we can all be forgiven. You know why?
Why?
We're in mourning because little Paul Ryan is not going to run for president.
Oh.
Right? Oh, you know who that is?
Someone's at the door.
Yeah, it's my mice men.
They're back?
Yeah, this is all about of mice and men this morning.
Travis, get the exterminator.
Travis, mice man's here. See if it's raptor. Or...
You are one raccoon away from
life.
Grey Gardens.
I have friends. What's that? What'd you say?
You are one raccoon away from Grey Gardens. So
one raccoon
though.
In the attic.
Yeah.
Yep, away from Grey Gardens.
Uh-huh. You and me both.
Yeah, I realized everything came home to roost about my life. It was last week. Frangela's live in studio. I
yeah.
chat with them, and I had to go up and meet the mice. Well, the mouse man I thought was a rat man. I thought it was a rat, so that was good news.
That's okay. good. They're smaller.
So, yeah, but we were up vacuuming mouse turds.
Mm, nice.
And I was late. That's why I was late coming back then.
They weren't capers. They were mouse turds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not capers.
No, they were not capers.
That is a reference to
Body Snatchers.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You're absolutely right. I got that immediately. Wow.
All right. Paul Ryan. Aw, the budget monster.
Aww. He's adorable.
Oh,
he
Eddie.
Is.
Eddie.
So cute.
Isn't that a wonderful Eddie? You'll have
isn't that wonderful Eddie?
You'll have to stay in the house.
I won't go.
No. He's not going to run.
You can't beat me. You can't.
All right. You don't have to run.
Who will Mittens pick?
He said he will not. He will not run for president in order to focus on his new role in Congress as an obstructionist douche nozzle that is in charge of the House Ways and Means.
I don't think that's his official title.
Douche nozzle isn't.
Obstructionist douche nozzle who is bent on destroying the social safety nets. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. The full title.
Okay. Yeah. He gets very upset when you leave out the second part.
It's premium support. It's a voucher program. It's premium support here, Grandma. Here, Grandma, gushing head injury? Here, put a voucher on that.
Have a
staunch the bleeding.
Have a Subway Sub Club coupon.
Aw, we have to play voucher hospital in honor of poor little...
I'll get that during the break.
All right. Well, I think you shall. And then Bob Sheska of the Daily Banter coming
love
up
him.
Next.
Yay!
From,
Hawaii.
Yeah.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
My life is empty and has no meaning.
I asked you what's new.
Oh, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. Once again, Stephanie's not in the seat.
There's a lot going on around here this morning.
Mouse Man?
Yes.
How's Mouse Man?
I cannot locate Mouse Man.
He's somewhere.
I don't think that's good news.
Is he
went out to get heavy artillery, probably.
Oh,
is
no.
Oh, there he is with a rocket launcher.
Is he stealing the silver?
The mouse sounds a little worse than I thought.
It might be that...
He's Bill Murray. In
is it the kangaroo that we thought was a mouse on the cartoons?
Yes.
The biggest mouse ever.
You get a little bit of a gopher problem.
All right. It's Tuesday, so you know what that means.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, I see. I'm the one that was unprepared for the cell phone.
Well, I had to host the show while you were missing.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special broadcast.
You're cute and I love you, Bob Seska.
Where are you calling from?
Bob's calling us from Hawaii.
You Seska thing. Seska thing.
Go ahead, Honolulu.
Good morning, Bob Seska.
Good morning, Stephanie. I have to warn you right here at the outset. I've got heart palpitations. I can't breathe. I'm feeling really. You know what it is? It's partly because I'm on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is always a treat. Yes. It's also because I'm caught in the grips of Romney fever.
when the momentum hits you, yeah. It's hard to control yourself, right?
The best thing about it is that if he actually does run,
yeah.
I'll get to recycle like 80% of my articles from 2000.
Yeah, exactly. We can all take a break. Yeah. It turns out Gloria Estefan was right. The rhythm is going to get you. And the momentum has enveloped you, yes. And you might as well surrender. Okay, Bob. By the way, Jody Hamilton is here live in studio. I think we mentioned last week that Bob tweeted that I am our generation's Carol Burnett, which
I thought that was sweet.
Me too. This is why God made him so pretty, because he's so wrong. But he's... Did I explain to you how pretty Bob Seska is?
I heard that he glows.
6 foot, how 6 foot what? 6 foot what, Bob? 6 foot...
6'4".
Six foot four. Nice. Of magical, glistening...
Hawaii
sculpted
goodness.
Man meat, hot liberal stud meat, grade A.
I made it clear. Look, I made it clear last week that was wine goggles, and that I actually look like Bob Beckel.
Yeah, you do not look anything like Bob Beckel. You are a ridiculous man. Now, speaking of ridiculous, we love your piece. Desperate freedom fries conservatives attack Obama for not marching in France. This is just so it's so predictable, right?
We're now in day three of our long national nightmare of Barack Obama not going to France and marching with a socialist president and the leader of Palestine.
Yes. You say President Obama wasn't there. Reasoning ought to be obvious standing with him functioning gray matter. First, there's massively complicated security issues that would have stymied the event. Doi. I love that you're one of the only writers that uses the underused expression doi.
It's a good
Someone
expression.
Someone has to do it. Yeah. I might as well take up that mantle.
That's right. Second, when was the last time a U.S. president, any president, marched in a demonstration anywhere? Doi again. Good point, Bob. Double doi.
I've been asking that question all over Twitter since Sunday, and I still have not received a single answer. Suddenly now, this president, take a guess, he has to do things that no other president has ever done. And that includes marching in a demonstration in France.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and he would have gotten vilified had he shown up and did the photo op. So
that's
right.
That's why I can't take the gripes seriously, because I know that no matter what he would have done, they still would have been complaining about something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know.
What are you implying, John? What are you implying, Bob Seska, that they blame the president no matter what he does?
Yes. That's exactly. If he had gone, it would have been, he's leading from behind. He's
fecklessly.
One of the pack.
With feckless indifference.
Yeah, exactly.
It is to laugh, as they say. Which, oh, by the way, speaking of the outrage meter, we were talking about people being outraged that Margaret Cho impersonated a North Korean dictator.
She's Korean, isn't she?
Margaret Cho, who is Korean. Apparently that was a racist caricature of Kim Jong, whoever she was playing.
Yeah, I was waiting for the series of Salon.com articles about I put the pills in the people, which was the funniest line of the night, by the way.
I thought so too.
But I was disappointed it didn't happen. I was waiting for all the outrage about that, but instead it's Margaret Cho, which is crazy. I don't know. I mean, we're here talking about satire. We're rallying behind Charlie Hebdo, and yet we're also getting angry about Margaret Cho and. You know, the Golden Globes monologue, which was hilarious.
Yeah. The whole thing was awesome.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah. Speaking of comedy, so Mitch McConnell, we say it here as a joke, and we're like, no, he did it. You say Mitch McConnell and GOP trying to take credit for the economic recovery. It really is incredible. Well, he doesn't do anything with a straight face because it's a lack of, you know, lips and chin and all of that. But what could be considered a straight face? He actually said this, right?
Yeah, he really, really, really did. In spite of you know, being on the... I think these guys don't realize that there's something called the internet and something called YouTube, in which we can go back and read and actually see them saying things that are completely contradictory to what they're saying now. They just forget this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is incredible. You say, he said, the uptick appears to coincide with the biggest political change of the Obama administration's long tenure in Washington. The expectation of a new Republican Congress.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Right. That's apparently what caused all, 57, 59 months of economic expansion?
That's right. Voters are so prescient. They have this ability to see into the future so far that in 2009, they were already expecting,
sure.
In 2009 when the recovery actually began, they were already expecting the results of the 2014 election.
Right.
Amazing foresight.
Right. Oh, by the way, let me, May Lee, as she used to do, a very racist caricature of her own mother, who also is Korean. But why she always gave her dog treats and then her dog is getting so fat because her mother would say, she expecting. Okay. What I'm saying is because the American public was expecting.
Right.
Exactly.
A Republican Congress, they just, there was a rational exuberance.
Yeah.
Staggering that the majority leader is allowed to be this utterly moronic. You say, first of all, the economy didn't just suddenly improve. The economy has been slowly and steadily improving since March of 2009, exactly coinciding, weirdly enough, with the stimulus, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can look at every chart. You can look at the chart of the Dow. You can look at the chart of job creation. You can look at the chart for charting GDP growth. And it all starts in March of 2009, when the stimulus was passed. The job-killing socialist communist pinko stimulus that the president, I remember the word was also porculous. I remember Michelle Malkin using porculous
right.
in that past.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, I mean, you can't make it up. This is exactly what happened. The stimulus is passed, everything begins to recover. I mean, it wasn't instantaneous, but I've always felt like the economic agenda of the administration was always to have slow and steady growth rather than artificially pumping up some sort of bubble that would then suddenly burst in 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you say one of the items,
a way for it to grow.
One of these items being praised as a positive economic indicator recently is the news of a record low number of uninsured Americans due to the dreaded Obamacare, which was supposed to cause the apocalypse. And you say we're to believe that blam, all of these alleged disasters suddenly improved when everyone realized the GOP was going to sweep the midterms. You're like, wow, that's what's the word? Insane.
Yeah.
And you,
it's really striking, especially knowing that throughout 2014, Mitch McConnell was going around suggesting that the economy was in terrible shape. I mean, there's numerous quotes throughout the year in which he's talking about, you know, how awful things are and how the president's killing jobs and how the economy is sluggish and terrible and we should elect Republicans to fix it somehow. And now things turn on a dime. I mean, I don't get that reason and the expectation that people are actually going to buy that. That people are going to say, oh, I guess everything recovered in the last month and a half. That's exactly. It started in November, and wow, here we are.
And I love
everything's good again.
And I love your last line. You say, just wait. It's only a matter of time before they take credit for Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That, again, everything we say is a joke. Trust me. Mitch, we need to pull it out root and branch. McConnell will be like, look at what I have done. Look.
I love Mitch McConnell when he played a flea stack in Land of the Lost.
Okay, that's the line of the day.
All right. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you win.
You win. You win the internet.
Yes, he does.
Oh, Bob Seska, you're just a scamp. All right, you can't follow that, so now you have to go.
Okay.
All right. Love you, Bob Seska.
Love you, Stephanie.
Thanks, Bob. Bye.
How did he sound when he said that? When he said I love you too, but how did he sound?
He sounded
I'm
like
sure
he really
his wife
does.
Said he sounded great.
She's not there. What did you think?
I think
he sounded like
back.
He likes me like that.
I think he's going to call back.
You think he'll call me next week?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Let his peace be him.
Liz.
Oh, dear God, it must be him. It must be him. Oh, I shall die.
Sue in Rockville, before we break real quick. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. First of all, again, happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you, Sue.
Happy anniversary, Jody.
Oh, thank you.
And to you and Lonnie.
Oh, you and Lonnie. Are,
yes, we've been living in sin for 13 years.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
That is sinful.
You'll get
sinful.
It right eventually. and if the HR complaint department is open, I have a complaint that's much stronger than the previous caller's.
Oh, sorry, I was sleeping. Yes, hello, HR department. What? What's happening?
Well, you know, she's complaining that you assaulted her partner, her but when
she's
I
got no proof.
Liberal D.C., you ran past me to throw your arms and body into Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a chick the last time I checked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a very bad lesbian.
Ostensibly, you should be way more interested in Sue than you are in Kevin.
You
well,
think,
you know.
And I didn't even have the bar babies with me.
Listen, you know what? I who can account for my taste? And you are not a Mandingo warrior like my Kevin.
Yes, but I'm a nice Jewish girl, and I know you like the Jewish lady.
Listen, I got...
That is true.
Fair. All right. All right. Bye, Meemaw.
Oh.
Aw, so cute. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments with the delightful Jody Hamilton on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You gotta laugh, or you just cry all day, wouldn't you? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, Travis Bone came in with the mouse report. They caught two mice.
Two mices.
I
hate mices. Two mices.
Mices. Two mices has been good. He'll be back Friday. It's not any more mice. Okay.
You need so to get. You need
and
to
you
get,
say that'd be great because maybe Frangel will be here, so they'll be here for the
yeah.
sequel to the Mouse Man's visit.
Exactly.
You need to get yourself a Jinx the Cat.
The Mouse Man will cometh again on Friday. All right. Wow. It could be worse. You could have eaten a drug lace ball at Christmas.
Drug lace what?
That's true. Dozens get. According to police. Health officials have found a synthetic drug in the Christmas cakes that caused 40 people to fall ill with nausea, hallucinations, and out-of-body experiences in California this week.
Oh, dear.
Traditionally, the baked good is eaten at the end of the Christmas season and contains a tiny plastic Jesus baby.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's like a king cake kind of thing.
Right. But apparently it had something in it, and people started showing up. That when you eat the wrong ball, it's...
No, there were tripping balls.
Suddenly you think, like, you know...
I think you read that wrong. The headline said they ate the cake and then began tripping balls. That's a term for being under the influence of acid.
Pardon me. I don't know what the kids are doing when
was
they
it mushrooms? What kind of drug were they on?
It was some kind of hallucinatory. When you hallucinate, you trip balls.
Right, I knew that.
We just called it tripping back in my day.
Did you say they ate balls?
I thought they were
eating balls.
Christmas balls, like you know the cakes that. No. All right.
Oh, bless your heart.
Bless my heart.
She's pretty.
Yeah.
Hi. Joan Rivers' clinic that you know that botched her. Procedure to lose federal accreditation. It
Good.
Looks like.
Good.
Yeah,
you should.
Right. Did your mom know Joan well? I just
assume
comedy legends all just hang
absolutely.
Out together.
Oh, absolutely. They were very good friends. In fact, she did a thing for Joan that. People thought was serious, where she got up and stormed off in a restaurant and all
right.
this stuff, and it's like, no, it was a joke.
Right. Joan and I did that on the red carpet. We got into a fake shoving and shouting match.
And it was very funny, and right. people really, the YouTube comment, oh my God, I can't believe she got so mad. It's like, that's not a real story.
Right.
Those are both comedy legends. They know what they're doing.
They know what they're
Everybody
doing.
Everybody, don't try to calm
don't
down.
Don't
try the fake fight at home.
Yeah calm
professionals.
Down.
Okay.
Shh.
Eunice and Mama didn't really hate each other. They're both actors.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And they were characters.
Okay.
Not real people.
Right.
They actually love each other. Carol Burnett, Nikki Lawrence. See, we blew our whole cover on Twitter. I had a big birthday love fest
yeah.
on Twitter. I said how much I love you.
Now you blew it.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Sheesh.
Okay. Here's, I think, one thing we can agree on, and that is Paris Hilton. I'm a big dog rescue person, as you know.
Right. She buys dogs.
Ah! Sorry. I don't know why that makes me scream in Arnold.
Because if she wants purebreds, they have them.
You can rescue purebreds. Max and Fred are Great Pyrenees. I got them at Gentle Giants Rescue. Okay. Paris Hilton dropped $25,000 on two little dogs. Oh my goodness! Combined,
are they gold?
The all white Pomeranians weigh just 1 pound. Isn't that precious? Aww. And how many dogs just died right now because of that?
Oh my God, $25,000?
She had previously spent $13,000 on Mr. Amazing, the world's smallest Pomeranian. And now, the news today, she may hire a full-time nanny for her new pup. So she's at least creating jobs. She now owns 8 dogs, all of which she bought. Is considering hiring a full-time nanny for her latest pooch, the teacup Pomeranian.
Now, does she have a kennel's license?
It's a micro-mini teacup Pomeranian.
So it's, what is it, like this big?
She bought one dog for herself and one for her mom, both for $25,000. She's thinking about getting the dog its own nanny. It's so small, she needs someone to feed it as if it were a newborn baby.
Aww.
I like you, Matt.
You know what she could do with that $25,000?
Shove it up her ass? Oh, I'm sorry.
We could ask Lisa Rinna about that.
I think we will.
I think we should.
Because she is on A Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with Kim Richards.
Right.
Who is Kathy Hilton's sister.
Right.
Kathy Hilton is Paris Hilton's mother.
Yeah. OMG. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I go to spinning with Lisa Rinna.
There you go.
Friday, she told me she's going to come on and do our show or our happy hour or something.
We'll see if that happens.
Cool.
Degrees of separation.
Oh, pardon me. Sorry. Hi, Helen and Ithaca. Hello.
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 Hi, Helen.
Yes.
Hello, bonjour, bon matin, et bon anniversaire à Chris.
Merci beaucoup, Helen.
I feel like I'm in like a reading lab in high school, this entire show, with all these people butchering the French language. Yes, well, Helen.
I don't butcher. I went to the University of Paris. I don't butcher.
There you go.
Oh, excusez-moi.
But I would say, ce n'est pas nécessaire de tuer le souris. All right, I'll stop speaking
All
French.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's not necessary to what?
Yeah, you could get some of those happy traps to catch your little micees. Or, Chris, maybe you could bring your cat over.
Get Jazz over here.
Yeah.
Off it.
Although the last time I brought Jazz over here, he hid for 3 days.
I believe that.
Yeah, because he smelled dog. And so he just hid for 3 days, couldn't find him.
Besides, it's a raccoon we're missing for Great Gardens. I've had raccoons in the yard, not in the house
yet. Yeah, I know.
Yet. But just wait.
Yeah.
They're pranksters, the raccoons.
They are.
Yeah, yeah. They like to roll up the sod and do stuff like that.
And throw avocados at you.
Yes, yes. And
how's their aim?
And a couple of times they have frozen my bra or written on my button lipstick.
Or saran wrapped your toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're very good
Funny. Oh, remember I went on the bike trip to France and we posted pictures?
Yes.
A long time ago, Rocky Mountain Mike said, I still think you look better in front of the Arc de Triomphe than Hitler.
Aw, that's so nice.
That's a cute Rocky Mountain Mike.
I like
that.
That's lovely.
Girl.
That's
very sweet. All right, get to work on a new Lying Sack of Crap song, Rocky Mountain Mike, and a jingle for Jody. Let's go here, people. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Lying sack of crap.
Yeah.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah, baby.
Truth takes a holiday. Don't believe the things you say. You're a lying, scheming, stinking sack of liquid crap. Lying sack of crap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Kelly in West Virginia, you're on with Jody. Hi, Kelly.
Good morning, everyone. Jody, you are awesome.
Oh, thank you, Kelly.
Delightful.
Checks in the mail.
Damn fascinating.
I just wanted to briefly mention Fashion Police. Its new season premiered last night.
Yep.
I was wondering...
With Kathy Griffin, right?
Come again?
With Kathy Griffin, correct?
Yes, yes, and it was enjoyable. You could tell Kathy was really nervous.
Aw.
But...
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, yeah, and every show has a combination. It'll take two or three shows for them to get it together, but I have faith in it, and it was very enjoyable.
Well, good.
So, y'all have a great day.
Thank you for that review of the Fashion Review show. If someone would like to call in and review that call about the review, about the Fashion Review
show,
I'd like to hear it. I'd like to review that. I want to review it, and I'll get back to it. How can we get your delightful podcast?
At from-the-bunker.com.
Yeah.
Because it is just, there is not enough damn fascinating time here with Jody. You need more. Go get the podcast. All right. Love you, Jody
Love
Hamilton.
You.
And I don't even remember who your mom is. Okay. All right. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.